Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we continue with our election series, 30 issues in 30 days. Today's topic was voted to the top by listeners. True or false? Money in politics is the root of all evil. And we are continuing to take your votes for topics to include in this series on our politics website. It's freecountry.org. You can also see the LLC application form and how sillily easy it is to fill out and submit. We have a blank form there at itsafreecountry.org. We started the hour looking at that state campaign finance loophole for LLCs, and now we'll look at the national picture and spending on congressional midterm elections. With control of Congress at stake, we might expect spending to be high, not just by individual candidates, but by outside groups, and several factors seem to be fueling the rise in spending by independent groups. Not just the Supreme Court's ruling in Citizens United earlier this year that lifted limits on corporate and union spending. Joining us now to talk about following the money is Peter Overby, NPR's power, money, and influence correspondent. He's always the NPR reporter with my favorite title. And Bill Allison, the Sunlight Foundation's editorial director, who heads their reporting group. Welcome back to the show, Peter, and welcome Bill Allison to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Bill, Sunlight Foundation has a report on its website today. We see that spending by independent groups is up $20 million over 2006 to $57 million, and that's quite a jump. Is that the big story as far as money is concerned in this election cycle?
I think it's one of the big stories. I mean, clearly there has been a lot of spending by outside groups, but if you look overall just across the board, I mean, I think it's this is the most expensive midterm ever. I think we're at about $3.2 billion total raised. That's up over, I think the last one was about $2.4, $2.5 billion. So clearly there's more money flowing into candidates, flowing into party committees. But these outside groups are something that, while we've seen them before, it seems like they're more active than they have been in the past.
Peter, you point in your reporting to two big factors behind the jump in independent money. One clearly is the Citizens United ruling, but the other is the Federal Election Commission's ruling on disclosure. Can you explain that one?
Yeah. They went back to the existing rules on what had to be disclosed for what are called electioneering communications. Those are ads that identify a candidate but don't say vote for or vote against. And what they wound up saying this time, they loosened the rule. They said that if a donor gives money specifically for that ad that is being disclosed, then the contribution has to be reported. If the contribution is just for general operating expenses of the organization that's running the ad, or even for a general ad campaign, or even for this ad campaign that includes several different ads, but not earmarking this particular ad, any of those conditions, the money doesn't have to be reported. So the disclosure from groups that are doing electioneering ads, which is a big chunk of the ads that are on the air right now, that kind of disclosure of the contributions behind those ads has dropped to zero, essentially.
And listeners, true or false? Money is the root of all political evil, or anything more subtle than that that you want to say about this topic. 212-433-WNYC, issue number 4 in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series. 212-433-9692, or you can post to our show page, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, and we'll get some of your comments on the air. Corporations don't seem, from what I've read, to have jumped into the campaign spending game in as big a way as some may have predicted after the Campaign United Citizens United Supreme Court ruling completely lifted all caps. Bill, what are you seeing, and how surprising is it?
I think that what we're seeing is, and if you get back to the whole issue of electioneering communications, I mean, one of the most active groups has been and has always been the the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which gets all of its dues from corporations, and then they go out and buy political ads. And again, it's not the vote for, vote against, but you can still run a pretty tough negative ad without necessarily saying vote against this candidate or vote for against this candidate. They're mentioning federal candidates, and they're talking about their records, you know, usually in a negative or a positive way. I think that what we're seeing, though, is that the corporations are not doing what they were, you know, what Citizens United, and I think that a lot of people were worried about. They're not running ads on their own behalf. It's not like vote against, you know, Senator Smith and, you know, paid for by British Petroleum or paid for by ExxonMobil or anything like that. And if you think about the way that corporations operate, I mean, they try to avoid controversy. They don't want to run the risk of alienating half of their customers. They may figure that if we take a side against a Republican or a Democrat, we're going to needlessly alienate folks. So what corporations are instead doing is funneling money through the same kind of channels that they've always used, using Section 527 organizations, which is refers to a part of the tax code that sets up political committees that can run different types of ads, electioneering communications. They're using the Chamber of Commerce and groups like that, and they're using, you know, we still don't know what they're doing exactly on the nonprofit front, but there are certain groups, like there's one called Crossroads GPS, which is closely affiliated with Karl Rove. And that organization is a 501c4, and I apologize for all the numbers, but that's a section of the nonprofit code. And basically, those are organizations that don't have to disclose their donors, but can use up to half of their budgets to run political communications or to intervene in political in elections.
And they can take untransparent names like Americans for the Public Good or whatever?
Right, and Americans for Lollipops and Bubblegum. Yeah, they can do pretty much anything that they want like that. And the public really has no idea who's behind them, unless you really do some sleuthing and look at, you know, who's the board of directors. But you will not know who is the money behind these organizations.
NPR's Peter Overby, is that what was going to be made transparent in the Disclosure Act that Congress was debating this week, but that got defeated?
It was. The thing to keep in mind about the Disclosure Act, the bill itself got pretty complicated, and there were a lot of kind of cross currents in the debate over it. But if you go back to the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, they pretty much assumed that there would be disclosure. Let me read you one sentence. They're talking about corporate spending on politics. And the decision says, with the advent of the Internet, prompt disclosure of expenditures can provide shareholders and citizens with the information needed to hold corporations and elected officials accountable for their positions and supporters. That isn't happening.
Why not? Why? I mean, disclosure seems like mom and apple pie, even for people who consider money a form of speech in politics, a form of First Amendment-protected free speech. Disclosure just tells you who's donating to political campaigns or spending during political campaigns. Who opposes that in the Senate?
Well, let me give you an example of this is just one example of the cross currents I was talking about. 501c4 groups, these advocacy groups, operate on both sides. And nobody in the 501c4 realm wants to disclose their donors. They don't want, you know, maybe they would be okay disclosing donors for the ads, but they don't want to disclose donors for their lobbying work, for their advocacy at other levels, for the, you know, field work they might be doing.
And I understand all that from their interest standpoint, but it sounds like they've got at least 40 senators who are willing to protect them. What's the senators'
excuse? Well, the question is, how do you separate the one money from the other money? The answer is often you can't, and that gives the senators opposing the disclose bill a chance to say the disclosure goes too far.
Commenter on our page, Jack from Central New Jersey, writes, what I want to know is, how do we get undisclosed private money out of politics altogether? He proposes, I want a corporate tax of 3% that funds public election campaigns. Tax form checkoffs are fine, but no more having candidates chase after money. No more highest bidder outcomes in our legislatures. Of course, we're very far from a total public financing system in terms of public opinion in this country. Catherine in Babylon, you're on WNYC. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Brian. My sense is that money itself doesn't determine politics. But if you are sort of one of the disposable people, if you're recognized early, if you've made a connection that really counts, then you will get the money. And in that case, you will be able to move into, you have something to sell, you know, your electability, mm-hmm. your charisma, and so forth. And hence we get a Bill Clinton, you know, the story of the Bill Clinton or something like that. But
right. But he uses that charisma to raise a lot of money.
Exactly. You know, money makes money. But in the beginning, you know, without it, I think that the only way I can explain what I see in the discussion of taxes all week long is that there is a good portion of our population whom are considered disposable because we don't want to educate them or care for them, you know, give them decent health care.
And a meaningful voice and a meaningful voice in our political system.
That's right.
Catherine, thank you. Bill Allison from the Sunlight Foundation, here's another layer of lack of transparency. Maybe you're already familiar with the issue behind the front page of the New York Times story today about one of these independent groups, Americans for Job Security. There's a nice generic mom and apple pie name, Americans for Job Security. We all want that. Alaska investigated the group after it got involved in a referendum vote there and found, quoting, Americans for Job Security has no purpose other than to cover various money trails all over the country, said the staff of the Alaska Public Offices Commission. This group shared office space with Crossroads Media and has ties to other Republican groups. Are there a lot of groups like that out there?
There are several groups out there, and I think the thing to remember about Americans for Job Security, I mean, they were around running ads in the 2008 campaign, so it's not that they're something new that came up due to Citizens United. I mean, the election laws have always been porous enough to allow for this kind of activity, and really we saw it with the Swift Boat vets. We've seen it with, you know, other groups that, you know, kind of come on the stage and then disappear. This one has been around for a little bit longer, but yeah, I mean, I think that this is one of the things. There's Americans for Prosperity, there's Americans for, you know, there's a host of different groups that are doing this. Sunlight has actually made a tool on our reporting.sunlightfoundation.com website that lets you track groups making independent expenditures. There's a big green arrow showing you the latest ones, and you can go in and kind of dig in and look at who these different organizations are and get their filings with the Federal Election Commission and see what their activities are. But the problem is with a lot of these groups, Americans for Job Security being one, they're one of these 501c4 groups, and they can take money from, you know, any source. They don't have to disclose it, and they're running ads and trying to influence elections. So I think that that's, you know, that's something that, you know, it was funny. A friend was just talking the other day about how when soft money started, these were the unregulated contributions to political parties, and it was first started to be disclosed in 1990, I believe. And by the time it was banned by McCain-Feingold, it just, you know, grew every single cycle, more and more money coming in this way. And until you come up with a way to regulate these groups or at least can provide some disclosure for them, you're going to just see more and more of them. They're going to just spring up like mushrooms all over the place.
We'll continue in a minute and finish this up with NPR Money Influence, Power Money and Influence correspondent Peter Overby and Bill Allison from the Sunlight Foundation as we talk about money in politics. And we also have a link on our website to the Sunlight Foundation's Follow the Unlimited Money searchable database. Go to itsafreecountry.org.
Money don't get everything is true, but what it don't get, I can't use. I need money.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our Fall Election Series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. Today, Issue 4, True or False, Money is the Root of All Evil in Politics. And each Thursday, as part of 30 Issues in 30 Days, we're doing a special segment called Wonk Wars. And on the It's a Free Country website, we're inviting two or more policy thinkers to discuss and debate a topic online beginning on Monday. Then we'll pick up the conversation on the air each Thursday on the show. So next Thursday's Wonk Wars is around the true-false statement, the Tea Party is good for America. We've already had two wonks chime in, conservative commentator Lenny McAllister and labor activist Jonathan Tessini. Their first posts are already on the site, and they'll be going back and forth over the next week until next Thursday. You can also add your thoughts, too. We have comments threads there. True or false, the Tea Party is good for America. Check it out and add to it at itsafreecountry.org. We continue with today's 30 Issues series about money and politics with NPR's Power, Money, and Influence correspondent Peter Overby and Bill Allison, the Sunlight Foundation's editorial director. Peter, you reported on Target, the company, which experimented with getting more into direct political spending after the Citizens United ruling made it easier to do, and it kind of backfired on them, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. And the lesson that came out of this for corporations was it wasn't don't get involved in politics. The lesson was don't get involved in politics in a way that has to be disclosed. Target's mistake was it gave money to a political group that was supporting the Republican nominee for governor in Minnesota, its home state. They gave money to a group that was required to make public disclosure of its donors. So the Target, Best Buy was also in on this. Each of them gave $100,000. And those donations became public about the same time that the group started running an ad for the candidate. So it was really easy to draw the connection, you know, Target, intermediary group, ad supporting candidate. The problem with the candidate is that he has very strong socially conservative positions. For instance, he's against marriage equality, and that is really at odds with Target's public image. So Target spent quite some time apologizing, but they did not ask for the money back. They did not say, we'll never do it again.
So the perfect story to exemplify why they want to be non-transparent, why they don't want to have to disclose who's responsible for campaign money, or why they want to hide behind these private interest group names with the mom and apple pie sounding titles. So it doesn't say Target. It says, you know, Americans for Truth.
Right. And Minnesota Forward in this case.
Yes. Bill from the Sunlight Foundation, on the premise of the hour, true or false, money is the root of all political evil. How far do you go down that road at the Sunlight Foundation?
Oh, boy, we're not into moral judgments. We're more about transparency and just trying to make sure that people can find out where the money is coming from. And one of the sites that we're doing now is, and I hate to plug another one, but sunlightcam.com, which is a place where if you're a member of the public and you see a political ad, you can go there and plug in the information, who paid for it, what it was about, to help other people track kind of and help reporters and the public track what's going on in these elections. I think that what we're seeing, you know, with money is that there's just an awful lot of money at stake in Washington. We've had a health care bill. We've had financial reform. We've had a series of high-ticket items coming out of Washington. And I think the reaction of the country and a lot of folks in the country, particularly those with money, is to either support these measures by, paying for ads to promote the candidates that supported them, or to attack them by, attacking the folks who voted for them, or supporting the folks who promised to repeal them. So with all the money in Washington, it's not surprising that we're seeing a lot of money being spent to influence Washington.
And here from Matt on our comments page is maybe one of the reasons why this matters so much. He writes, I think money determines politics insofar as it can stay under the radar. Once a line is crossed, like, say, when the whole economy collapses because of bad mortgages and big bank bonuses and whatnot, anger and backlash start becoming more of a force. So, Peter Overby, that hints at all the banking industry, Wall Street industry money that went into repealing some of the regulations over the last few decades, which a lot of people now think contributed to the housing collapse. But when he talks about the anger and the backlash, we also have the Tea Party movement, and we've been learning more about some of the deep pockets from establishment figures helping to fuel the Tea Party movement, which is supposed to be grassroots. How do you see the Tea Party in this whole conversation, Peter?
Well, speaking from a reporter's point of view, there's a lot we don't know about the Tea Party. You know, we see the rallies, we see the people showing up at the town hall meetings, we see them winning primary elections. What we don't see is how those rallies came about, where all the money came from to organize them. And for instance, Tea Party Patriots, which is one of the big Tea Party umbrella entities, just announced this week that they are stepping up their ground operation with a $1 million anonymous grant. It puts them in a position where they can't advocate for candidates or against candidates specifically with that money, but that's a that's a pretty easy line to navigate.
And in New York, we see Mayor Bloomberg has his self-funded campaigns. Now Republican candidate for Governor Carl Paladino is spending his own money in his run against Andrew Cuomo, plus the two California ex-CEOs running for governor and senator, Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina. This is a whole other area of money in politics. Bill, is this a growing trend among Republicans, among Democrats, among independents?
Self-financed candidates are have been around for a while. John Corzine ran for the Senate seat. Steve Forbes ran for the president less successfully. And, of course, Corzine used some of his own money to run for governor of New Jersey. I think there is the Supreme Court precedent that, an individual that is considered a First Amendment issue, you can't stop somebody from spending their own money,
right,
promoting themselves. And so that's why you have these unlimited monies.
So in our last 30 seconds, mm-hmm, is this all just hopeless? You know, if we think money is the root of all political evil, we've covered so many of the various kinds of ways that unlimited money can seep into the system in the last hour, from individuals having the constitutional right, like Mayor Bloomberg, to, some of these ways that you can hide who you are, and the Supreme Court Citizens United ruling, and the LLC loophole in New York. Is there just no way to really stop the sieve?
I think that money will always rise to its own level, and I think the best thing you can do is just make sure it's disclosed so everybody knows where it's coming from.
Peter Overby, 15 seconds.
I would go back to Mark Hanna, who ran President William McKinley's campaigns. There are two important things about politics. One is money, and I don't remember what the other one is. It's always there. It makes you a player.
Peter Overby, NPR's Power, Money, and Influence correspondent. What a title. And Bill Allison, the Sunlight Foundation's editorial director. Thank you both so much.
Thanks,
you're welcome.
And you can see the link to the Sunlight Foundation's Track the Money Trail website on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Have a great weekend, everyone. Talk to you Monday.